A very good evening to you, and thank you so much for joining us on this edition of Spectrum, live on Radio 1 FM 90. We're broadcasting from our website which is www.radio1fm90.com. You click on the icon with the word listen live. Radio 1 is also live on the different radio listening apps, which you can obtain from the apps of your smartphone. You download, look for Radio 1 FM 90, and as long as you have an internet connection, you should be able to listen to us from anywhere across this globe. We also value your feedback and would like to encourage you to share your thoughts, questions or comments via the WhatsApp line 0703-090-090. Tell us what you think about the topic we are discussing today. And if it is a question or a comment, the guest in studio will be responding to you. My name is Kenneth Anderson Lukwago, and today we'll be looking at digital violence against girls and women. Now, this discussion is in line with the 16 days of activism, which Uganda has been, observing. This will be ending tomorrow, and the theme of this year, observance has been Unite to End Digital Violence Against All Women and Girls. And one of the organizations that is involved in the promotion of women rights and equality in this country, the Forum for Women in Democracy, has organized this discussion for us to understand the interventions they are undertaking, including what they call the AUSAM program, which is one of those programs they have been implementing during this particular time. I have two guests in the studio. Let me introduce them. Ms. Chintu Ruth, she's a senior superintendent of police, legal officer and deputy head, Child and Protection Department at the police headquarters. Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
Also in studio, we have Ms. Fatuma Nakazi. She's the chairperson of Uganda Kingdom Gender Board. She's a trainer with the Forum for Women in Democracy Forward. Good evening. It's a pleasure having you on Spectrum.
Good evening to you.
Thank you so much. We do encourage you listeners, like I said, to contribute to this discussion in order for us to understand the feedback that you have out there, but also the concerns that will be responded to by the two ladies who are with me here in studio. Now, we know the 16 days of activism were set aside by the international community to advocate for the end of gender-based violence, which is one of the biggest problems we have in our country. And we know the Uganda police from time to time documents such cases, and the annual police crime report has severally indicated the challenges that we have as a country in regard to that particular issue. So we will be reflecting on these issues and digging deeper to try and understand what exactly is happening in our country. And let me begin with you, Senior Superintendent of Police, Chintu Ruth. As the police, from time to time, you document issues of gender-based violence. Before we even focus on digital violence that is more common today, can you give us a brief picture of the situation based on your documentation as the police force?
Thank you so much. Good evening, dear listeners. Well, the Uganda Police Force is at the center of receiving and responding violence cases, and we normally document whatever case that is reported to us at our various police units, that is police board, police post, police station, headquarters, and the regions. Statistics, from year to year, every year we launch an annual crime report. It is very alarming and disappointing that the rate at which violence against women, violence against children, violence against men, basically, is rising. Every year we receive an increase in the trend, and this violence manifests in all forms. For example, physical, sexual, economic, emotional, and of late, cyber or digital violence.
Mm.
The Uganda Police Force has put in place measures to curb the rate, to respond. However, success rates are still very low because of so many factors that are institutional, policy in matter, and due to parties that come to police, the complainants, witnesses, and the suspects, as generally it occurs.
Mm. All right. Thank you so much for those details. You indicated that the situation seems to be getting out of hand when you look at the statistics. Can you share with us some of the forms of violence that you see from time to time?
Thank you so much. When you look at the definition of violence takes majorly five forms. There is physical, where the physical body or the physical well-being of the victim or survivor is affected. It takes things like kicking, beating, physical attacks against the victim. Mm. And ladies and gentlemen, I also want to comment that we are all potential victims and we are all potential perpetrators, whether male or female, whether child or adult. We are potential victims, we are potential perpetuators. Mm. So that is the physical form. We have the emotional form. I always tell people, in Africa, we rarely concentrate on the emotional or psychological well-being of a person, and it explains why mental cases are now being on the increase. When you visit mental facilities like Butarika, cases of mental health concerns are rising, majorly due to emotional or psychological violence that has not been prioritized in our responses or policies as government. We have the economic bit of violence where someone or the victim is affected in the economic affairs, for example, stopping her or him from working. For working women, their salaries, when she earns or draws money from the bank, she has to surrender it to the husband or to the male partner. It can be a man where his finances are drained by the inconsiderate partner, so that is the economic. It also takes the form of land where a woman digs and cultivates crops. When the sales are made, the proceeds go to the other partner who is prim according to society. That is the economic. We also have the sexual violence takes the form of unconsented to sexual advances by the partner, because right now the Penal Code does not cater for marital rape. However, the Domestic Violence Act has sexual violence where someone can complain under the sexual form of violence. Then lastly, we have the digital violence or cyber violence. This one comes in so many forms as well. We have cyber harassment, bullying, stalking, all those cases provided for under Part 3 of the Computer Misuse Act. So generally, those are the five forms under which victims of violence find themselves.
All right. Let's now go to Ms. Fatuma. You've been working around these kind of issues, especially women, under the Uganda Kingdom Gender Board, but also as a trainer with the Forum for Women in Democracy. This particular organization forward has been implementing a project called ALSAM, which is geared towards SGBV. Can you tell us more about this intervention and whether some of the things that Afande Chintu has shared come to the fore when you look at what you encountered during this particular project?
Thank you so much, moderator. Like you said, I'm Fatuma Nakazi from Buganda Kingdom, and about this project. This project in full is advancing women's engagement, strengthening opportunities to mobilize for equality.
Mm.
Yes, it is being implemented in three countries, Ethiopia, Kenya, and Uganda, and it is a five-year term. This project focuses on two things.
Mm.
One of them is sexual and gender-based violence, and another one is women's participation in leadership.
Mm.
Under this sexual and gender-based violence, I relate with whatever Ms. Chintu has talked about.
Mm.
Yes, and I've had the opportunity to train communities. And when I trained communities, there is something that really made me laugh, because they were telling me, we've been doing most of the opposite of what you're talking about now.
Mm.
So there are people out there who are helping. They think they are helping when they're actually not helping.
Mm.
For example, one gentleman said, no, it was a lady. She told me, now if people get issues, the man and the woman, I just get the girl, give her a few slaps, and tell her to go back with
to
her
husband.
Yes, to the husband.
Mm.
So these were communities which did not understand quite well what gender-based violence is. And for what they has been at the forefront of training in the different parts of this country for people to understand what it is exactly. Then the women's participation in leadership. We've been doing that a lot. For example, we share with women topics, especially women political in the political space.
The candidates, the aspirants.
We share with them the legal and human rights basis for their participation. These things come from far up there. The CEDAW, those acts. Then the regional instruments that bring us women in line with politics. Then the Constitution of the Republic of Uganda. We have laws, we have policies that put us into politics. It's not that we are superimposing ourselves in politics. But as you know, our social norms, generally, women are, we're supposed to be behind in the kitchens, not in the boardrooms, but when you look at society, how it feels when a woman is standing for a direct seat. Two of you don't have any business standing here. Why should you stand in a political
There's a woman's seat.
There is a woman's seat.
That's what they say.
You're so women are being harassed. So we train women to understand that they are there legally. And we must be there in these spaces.
All right. And so some of the issues that Madame Chintu actually put across points to what some people would call a total breakdown of the understanding of women emancipation and the role women are supposed to play in a society. So when you come to communities who think like that, where even some people think that it's okay for a man to beat a woman because it's a sign of love, how do you break down that kind of understanding that is stuck in some people's mind? Because without mindset change, it might be difficult for us to actually overcome this problem. I want both of you to respond to that issue. Maybe let me begin with the funding. Mindset change.
Thank you so much. Society is a major contributor of violence against women, violence against children. The socialization process under society, it is time for us to change and know and appreciate that. Much as we believe this to be right, once we come to realize that what we believe in is actually hurting and affecting the other party or some part of society, we ought to style up and embrace change. And by embracing change, let us look at change positively. Let us advance so as we can live in a world where everyone can enjoy. A man is free to report violence. A woman is free to report violence. And society as a whole have to unite and team up with government and civil society to condemn this vice violence through mindset change. That is my question.
All right, let's hear from you, Ms. Nakazi, on this particular issue of mindset change.
Nakazi, far too married, Mr. Kakande. Yes.
And probably Mr. Kakande is listening to you now. All right, let's move.
About the mindset change. In forwarding, we really have structured trainings, and we do them with our communities. They are cascaded to the grassroots for people to understand that this is not actually the right way. But I'm going to say that even in our homes, we need to raise our children responsibly. For example, you can have a home with a number of girls and the boy does practically nothing, and you even come and tell the boy, the girls, now why don't you prepare for your brother food? I think people should share. There is a lot of how do I call it, there we are portion work
in the gender roles.
These are for boys and these are girls. That one alone, the boy will think, no, me, I'm supposed to be up there. We've seen men who are saying, I worked as a counselor in Masaka in a hospital setting, and we were dealing with people who were HIV positive, and I was in a counseling room, and this young man told me, I don't even love that woman counselor. I married her because she could wash my clothes. The relationship started at campus, and because they could wash the clothes, that is why he went ahead to marry this girl. I think the way we raise our children speaks a lot to this. Again, we need to train societies, teach them. In Buganda Kingdom, we are doing this a lot. We've trained singers, the equivalent of auntie, and kojas. And in these trainings, people get to know that, for example, child marriage is wrong. And I was very happy when Bukedde reported, one koja reported an incident like that when he had been called to preside over the function. Yes, in Butambala, and they apprehended the culprit. Another issue is economic empowerment. This one, I'll emphasize economic empowerment, because when people are economically empowered, the abuse is much less. Somebody will say, no, I'll go and do this. But when they are not, it is even worse. This happens so much in cohabiting relationships. And we actually know why people are cohabiting in this country. The reasons are very clear. One of them is poverty. And that one is very essential. Another one is lack of knowledge. They don't know that when I'm in this kind of relationship, this can happen to me. So these things, I think the lawyers are trying to see what they can do about this. She's from Lagos. She can tell us.
There is right now there is a bill before Parliament. The marriage bill, much as it has been there for decades, but we are hopeful. They are trying to, civil society and Parliament are trying to have it passed into law to recognize informal relationships.
There's a proposal there that once you cohabit for 2 years, automatically it becomes
a legal relationship.
The last one I saw was that if you're into a relationship and you're not married, and you pretend to be married, that is God holding out. In fact, the very newest. Like you are holding out, you are not married to this person.
Both of you are.
I think there was a harmonization before the bill was actually taken to Parliament, and they came up with that position that once you cohabit for a certain period of time, your relationship automatically becomes recognized as a marriage.
Then we have
with
the
equal rights at the time of dissolution.
Bill, among the proposed clauses, is to criminalize marital rape. Because right now we don't have a law on such, much as the Domestic Violence Act and a sexual form of violence somehow hints on it. You can seek justice via the sexual form provided for under Section 2 of the Domestic Violence Act, but it is far-fetched.
All right. Now, let's shift gears and look at the theme of this particular discussion, Unite to End Digital Violence Against All Women and Girls. We have a problem to do with digital spaces that everyone has embraced right now, but we are actually told it's becoming a tool of violence against women and girls. And I know Fowode has a publication which is called Deterred, Not Bad, but there are also other online statistics about issues of, technology facilitated SGBV or violence against women and girls. Can you share with us from that perspective, Mrs. Chintu? Mrs. Fatuma
Nakazi. Nakazi Fatuma is there. You cannot
Fatuma.
Refer to those names as a Mrs. She's Mrs. Kakan.
Mrs. Kakan.
Okay. So, for what they did a research about violence against women and girls, in fact, in particular, electro violence, and the figures are very telling. The emotional or psychological violence was 40%. Physical violence was 18%. Other forms of violence, 35. I'll break down the other forms. Then sexual violence was 7%. Yes, the other forms of violence included favoritism by electoral and party officials, electoral malpractices, denial of justice, deliberate confusion of the electorate, bribery and extortion, and these were commonplace. And the key perpetrators were political party leaders, district electoral officials, and state security agencies. And the media.
The media?
Yes.
Okay.
We'll hear the explanation. The ladies were saying the media would try to extort money from you if they had something about you, and they just want to expose it in the newspapers or something like that. If you don't give me so much money...
Blackmail. That's blackmail.
Yes.
Does it clearly state the kind of media? Because, you know, these days we have different kinds of media, and there are those that are professional and there are those who are not.
I think I'm not so sure of
not
this
so sure.
media, but like the research came out
in
that style.
Okay.
Then there is physical violence, being beaten, booed on the stage. You know how women fear that a lot. The emotional one includes character assassination, ridicule, gender discrimination, abandonment. Spouses abandon women candidates. And I want to tell the men listening out there, that one is one of the worst types of abuse. When you are abandoned, you just don't know what is wrong with you exactly. Somebody just leaves. In fact, in one of those interviews, I remember a woman saying, he abandoned me, then came back, I think 2 days to the election. And when he abandoned the lady, the family was saying that I think the lady killed the man for which a sacrifice for her political ambition.
So the lady disappeared from the compound.
The lady didn't disappear. The lady stayed there. Eloped with another woman, then returned. And of course, she lost. Definitely. She had to lose.
All right. So, Spectrum on Radio 1 FM 90. We're going to go for a break. When we return, we'll look at some of the implications of this particular finding that Ford they had. If a man is, you know, abandoning the wife just because she's aspiring for office, is it possible that they did not agree whether she should contest, that the man have the power to determine whether a woman should run for office? Is it an infringement as far as women's rights are concerned? We'll look at those issues in detail. But we'll also be looking at online violence from the side of the police. What are they seeing? Because we understand so many people are facing a tough time, including cyberbullying, when it comes to the different platforms where many people are finding themselves these days. Stay tuned, Radio 1 FM 90. Keep your comments coming by the WhatsApp line 0703-090-090. Spectrum continues after this break.
Spectrum on Radio 1 FM 90.
Well, thank you very much for staying with us on Spectrum Live on Radio 1 FM 90, a topic of discussion. Today we are looking at issues, violence against women and girls, but specifically we are looking at digital violence, which is the major theme of the commemoration of the 16 days of activism, which will be ending tomorrow with the commemoration of the International Human Rights Day. And two guests in studio, we have Ms. Chinitu Ruth, Senior Superintendent of Police, Legal Officer and Deputy Head, Child and Family Protection Department. She sits at the police headquarters in Naguru. And Mrs. Fatuma Nakazi Kakande, who is a chairperson of Uganda Kingdom Gender Board. She's a senior trainer with the Forum for Women in Democracy. Now, I'm staying with you a little bit, Madam Fatuma. The implication of some of these findings, and before we went for the break, I thought about us digging deeper to try and understand why a man would abandon a woman simply because they have expressed interest in running for a public office. Is it fear? Is it, that mentality, you cannot be above me? Because, you know, when someone acquires political power, somehow the status changes. And there's a thinking out there that the woman suddenly disappears from her home because of the responsibilities that come with the new office. But what are the dynamics there?
Yes, all the things you've talked about are very true. I'll start with the power. Men love power. Power in the home. The power to be the head, as the Bible says.
Is that what you define as patriarchy?
Yes. Men love this kind of power. And when a man feels the power is being taken away, he will not, of course you have more money definitely. The Ugandan parliament is giving quite some money.
Considerable amount,
depending on, if you look at the other jobs we have in this country, I think that is a gold mine. I think that is why we're seeing people craving and to go to parliament. Essentially, the thing is about power. Then these other issues in the home, the dynamics in the home. How are the children going to be raised? There is some sort of scare, being scared. What will happen? For example, if your man goes to politics, I think it is a two-way. This man goes to politics, there are so many women out there. The kind of exposure, what will happen then? So those issues, the women really get so scared, as well as the men. In fact, men are usually even more scared than the women.
I was speaking to some women at a training for women leadership during the break, and saying that one of the things men actually do when they get to parliament, they marry more wives. That was the argument.
They get more money.
They get more money, and money commands them to do certain things. So how do we deal with those kind of things? What kind of recommendation would you make, especially for women who are out there? Right now we are in a political season, and they are campaigning. Maybe they are faced with those kind of challenges. What kind of message that's for what they give them?
We tell them to sit as a family and talk to your partner. Show them the benefits of what will come out when you come to politics. Please do what you started. Don't become rowdy, going with men out there, because when you do, this man will not allow that. There are many instances where a woman has stood for politics and the man also stands. And definitely both of you will lose at that particular point. So I think communication
is very important.
Your spouse. It's very important.
All right. Let's now move to digital. The violations that we're seeing women when it comes to issues of the digital spaces where we are. I find you can begin that particular discussion there. Senior Superintendent of Police, Chinturu.
Thank you so much.
Are you saying at the police?
Like I said in the beginning, digital violence is one of the recognized forms of violence we have globally. The police force, its major role is to enforce laws. Once a law is in place, it is our duty to enforce. And how do we enforce? We receive reports. As long as it is a violation or it is a crime, as long as the law names a crime or an offense under it, it is our duty as police to receive such reports and investigate, prosecute, and charge. But along that, we also sensitize about the existence of these laws and how society can benefit and stop defending themselves as ignorant about these laws. The Uganda Police Force, under the Directorate of CID, that is Criminal Investigation Directorate, has established a full-fledged department called the Cyber Crimes Department, because we realize that digital violence is part of us and technology is not about to go. So as we advance in technology, so is crime. So the Uganda Police Force has established the Department of Cyber Crime that sits at police headquarters, at CID headquarters, and this is the department that enforces the cyber-related laws. Under these laws, we have the Computer Misuse Act, the Financial Intelligence Act. We work with NITA, that is National Information and Technology Authority, the UCC. So any law that enforces digital, the digital space, it is this department that is responsible. When we look at the Computer Misuse Act, dear ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time, I may not define or talk about every law, every offense created under that act, because this is the act we normally interact with, enforcement digital affairs. Part 3, that is sections from 12 to 27, we find offenses that are created under the Computer Misuse Act. And in line with the today's theme, this is where our ladies who are participating in politics find themselves. They find themselves as victims of violations of these sections. We have the stalking, the cyberbullying, harassment, unauthorized access. Ladies and gentlemen, I urge you to go and read in detail such that you understand. Every section defines what that digital term means. In the interest of justice, I may not be able to define them. As police, we receive these complaints. And like I said, we investigate and prosecute perpetuators of violence under these laws. Alongside that, we do community policing such that we alert people of the existence of these laws and the need to respect the digital space as we enjoy the freedom of expression. So we do a lot of sensitization, but we also charge and prosecute offenders under these laws.
All right, and that's where I was going to come to you. One of the things you're supposed to do to deter others from doing these things is to actually prosecute people. Is the police doing anything in this regard? Because I've had some discussions here, and the people are saying there are laws, including the Computer Misuse Act, but you're always going after those who are saying political words when people attack women online and things like that. You say, that's her problem.
Ladies and gentlemen, we do investigate and prosecute. The challenge at times is the willingness of the public to come and report. In rare cases, should police initiate investigation without a complaint? So we urge people out there. The only limitation may be, as of now, we've not yet descended down to our police units at the grassroots level. However, at CID headquarters, we encourage the public, once you're a victim of cyber violence, just to go to any police near you. You get that reference, then they were going to communicate to headquarters, because, you know, investigating cyber-related cases is technical. That's why we have IT graduates, IT officers recruited and deployed for that purpose. Right now, dissemination or coverage is not yet that wide as regards investigators of cyber-related cases, but we urge the public, once you find yourself a victim of this, go to any police near you, get a reference, and we shall liaise with a police officer where the case has been reported, and CID headquarters will intervene. We have done great. We have charged many, and we have secured convictions, not only against political related abusers, but even individual, where individuals are attacked and are victims. We do our part once a case has been reported.
All right. Now, let's look at the implications. She has actually given us statistics and deep information that justifies the fact that it's a threat of digital violence to women and girls. But let's look at the implications. With this kind of violence, what does this do, especially even to women who are aspiring for elective office as we speak now?
I'll say that electoral violence not only violates human rights, but also inculcates a culture of fear in these women. For example, you will see now there is no woman presidential candidate. And it's essentially because of violence, I suppose.
Is it so?
Yes. Women fear violence, and most times they don't want to go. Of course, there are other issues like lack of money. Others were not, how do they call it?
Mm.
Were not taken on by Electoral Commission.
Mm.
Maybe there were delays in time, but violence is quite an issue.
One of the reasons why.
Yes, yes. Then there is exclusion. Exclusion because they cannot. Apathy.
Mm.
And right now you can see with what is happening, many women, I'm sure, I call upon women to go and vote because the waters seem to be very murky and it is quite scary. But we need to vote, definitely.
Mm.
Yeah? We already face systemic barriers. And we risk reversing the gains, you know.
Mm.
This is a very popular phrase these days.
Mm.
The gains in promoting gender equality and inclusive leadership.
Maybe you want to say achievement, if you don't want to use the word gain.
I'll use that word. The gains we've made so far.
Okay.
Because currently it is the tough people who will go there.
Mm.
The women have issues of godfathers, and these are male godfathers.
Mm.
Men. Hmm? Who will position the woman to take on the woman's seat. They are also political godmothers. A lot of challenges are facing women.
Mm.
And some of these godfathers will bring the weaker one who will not even challenge them to go to parliament. That is how we get, at times we get people, I won't say not worthy, but people who will keep quiet when they reach parliament. Because they've not really gone through the systems, but because of the patronage issues, they go through in that way.
All right. Now let's look at your take on the issues, digital violence.
Oh, digital violence, what should be done? I'll start with teaching about digital literacy. Think before you post.
Think before you post.
For example, young people are posting nude pictures. People are posting nudes and these have affected them career-wise.
Mm.
Economically, they've been disadvantaged because if you posted some nudes somewhere, I may not give you a job. So, stop sharing some intimate photos. They've been used against. Even women candidates, they've been used against them.
Mm.
Yes. Then probably we need to develop methods of identifying AI-generated deepfakes and clearly label them.
Mm.
Deepfakes are these instances where people generate videos. Somebody puts on Fatuma's head on Chintu's body. And then she's naked in a lodge somewhere. And that has happened to one great woman in this country.
Mm.
So they put those nudes out and...
they say that's her.
That is her. And actually it wasn't her.
Mm.
Then UCC, there is some sleep on the job. There are a lot of programs that are uncensored on the digital platforms, on our TVs, even children's movies,
cartoons.
I think they need to do something there.
Mm.
Then it is very critical to encourage young people not to keep quiet and report when they are being stalked, because I think this has even been led to a murder of a girl. Those issues, they threaten you, they do this, and you fear to report. Then they tell you, come and meet me at Muyanga Club, and the girl goes just like that.
Hmm.
Yes, I think we need to teach even in schools about digital literacy, because children listen so much to the teachers. Parents need to be involved in this. Madame Chintu is here. You have child helplines where they need to report these issues.
116.
And you may choose not to respond. Some people have chosen that, and it worked. People have chosen not to respond, and it worked. Then I had another issue of advocating for policies and laws that deter digital violence. I'll say I'm a victim here. I have not read this computer use
misuse.
I've not, and from here, I think that's where I'm going to start. Then an issue of strengthening content moderation in the print media. These bloggers, I usually see them apologizing after doing a lot of to people. I think we really need a multi-pronged approach to handle this issue.
Right, we have comments that are coming in from the listeners, and I would like you to comment on them. Somebody called David writes in and said, beyond legalese, can the panelists tell us what is defined as marriage in our Ugandan cultural context? And then we have another comment. Good evening, Kenneth and the guests. I think it's both sides, even women or ladies, if they get money, when they get money, even they grow feet, they grow wings. The problem is that both sides think beyond what they are required to do. That's a comment that comes in from Grace Commander. Then Timothy writes and says, when you talk about young girls not posting nudes, they will tell you about body autonomy. What can the ladies in studio say about that? Because many feminists have been pushing for this new idea of body autonomy, where they say they have a right to do what they want with their bodies. Then another comment from Susan here, who says, the laws are in place, but implementation is the problem. Can the police officer tell us how many people have been prosecuted for attacking women online? Then we have another comment from Gerard here, who says, we need more money given to the family and the children protection department of the Uganda police to be able to go in so many communities to deal with the problem. Gender-based violence is a menace. Another comment, Afande Madam, we have witnessed a lot of disturbing digital violation against political aspirants. For instance, those on X messages attributed to CDF insulting Bobby Wine. How far have you gone with such offenders, if at all, have you ever tried? Well, that's a feedback that we're getting from the listeners. Very quickly, if we can respond to them and see how we can deal with the problem. Maybe we begin with Afande. Some people think you are not implementing the law.
Thank you so much. I wanted to first respond to David's concern on marriage. As a law enforcement officer, I will take the definition of marriage as it appears in the law books. We have four forms of marriage: customary, Mohammedan, Hindu, and civil. Civil has the church marriage or marriage before a marriage registrar. Beyond that, maybe he's talking about informal marriage. But when you talk about marriage in the cultural context, we have customary marriage, which is potentially polygamous, and this is where we have some bride price or gifts that should be freely taken, and at the dissolution of marriage, you shouldn't demand. So the court removed the condition of payment or refund to enter into marriage or to dissolve it. So I don't know what he really means. But even the cultural context has marriage, and it is legally recognized as a form of marriage. However, when it comes to violence against partners, men or women, I talked about the Domestic Violence Act. This is an act that recognizes even informal marriages. In Uganda, we call them kawundo kakubyedinisa. So if you find yourself in such arrangement, don't fear to report, because we are not under the legally recognized forms of marriage. The domestic violence laws recognize any form of domestic setting, including informal marriages. Now I'll go to statistics of people prosecuted. Ladies and gentlemen, every year, like I said in the beginning, the police releases annual crime reports. These crime reports are public documents. They normally have 2,000 pages. So right now I'm unable to go or to open and tell you the statistics. I urge every person out there to go and read the annual crime reports for all the years apart from 2025, because they are not yet compiled, they have statistics to do with all crimes committed and reported, including cyber related crimes. Then when it comes to the ex or the traits that are attributed, ladies and gentlemen, from Child and Family Protection Department, the police force has 17 directorates. Like I said, we have a fully-fledged department that handles cyber-related crime. Maybe next time we shall come along with an officer from that department, but right now I'm unable to respond to this. But what I can tell you, we have a department that handles, and it is a public office. Whoever feels should know much more than what I've said can kindly go to CID headquarters and interact with the Department of Cyber-Related Crime.
All right. Let's hear from you, Madam Fatima.
Thank you very much. There was an issue about bodily autonomy when I talked about posting nudes. I want to remind the listeners that the Internet doesn't forget. One day, one time, something will come out that will not be very palatable for you. We've seen people being sacked from jobs because of sharing pictures like this. We've seen people tormented, people at the verge of committing suicide, depression, all because of sharing these body parts. So I urge the young people especially, I mean, if this is my boyfriend, why doesn't he come and I show him the real thing? Do I have to post a nude picture? I think the young people, let's get some digital literacy and understand why it's not really good. The bodily autonomy, people talk about it, but I think that is inappropriate.
Okay.
In my thinking.
All right.
Then the other issue was the women get money, they grow wings and what, blah, 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 blah.
Some applies to men.
Some applies to men.
Mm.
And it really depends on what, on us the voters. Because people are saying all sorts of unpalatable things, but because he has the 5,000 to distribute, that one is voted to parliament. We voted even women who know nothing about gender in parliament. For example, there is a lady, and I won't hear talking about this lady, when they are talking about reducing the price on Pampers, she was saying, no, this shouldn't be reduced because these are used by homosexuals. But as a woman, if somebody gives you an adult Pampers, for example, when you are nursing an incontinent person who has some incontinence, wouldn't be that nice for you? So we're just churning out and sending parliamentarians because we've got 5,000 and we let voting for women. She looked so beautiful in this picture, and this one is worth voting for. Thank you.
All right. I'll give each one of you 1 minute to make your closing remark and also call to action. And I want to begin with your funding.
Thank you so much, dear listeners. On behalf of government and on behalf of the Uganda Police Force, we commit ourselves to continuing to working with our partners to ensure that the digital space is inclusive, is free, is full and safe for both ladies and women and men, girls and boys. And in that, we urge the public, first of all, to support one another. Let us support one another. If something has gone wrong in the digital space, kindly stand by your friends, by your relatives. Don't add more injury to the already affected. Let us work together and condemn digital violence.
Right.
I also urge young people to foster healthy relationship and online behavior, just as Madam Nakaza said. Let us enjoy the digital space with respect and
responsibility,
because all of us are prone to being victims.
All right. Very quickly, in a few seconds, Madam.
Thank you. Madam.